From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Reclaiming the Church by a Return to Christ, part of a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. In this book, perhaps in more than any other New Testament book, we see remarkable parallels to what is happening in many churches in the 21st century. The church at Corinth was rife with sin and problems, sins ranging from divisiveness to unspeakable immorality, with problems including everything from abuse of spiritual gifts to disorders at the Lord's table. Paul's answer was the preaching of the gospel to return the church to focus on Christ. He emphasized that the satisfaction of Christ gives the church the principles to deal with every problem. In addition, the Spirit of Christ gives the church the power to overcome every problem of faith and practice. Then, the second coming of Christ gives the church the promise of final deliverance from every problem and every manifestation of sin. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Look and Live. The text is Numbers chapter 21, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. This is a glorious gospel type. Jesus, numbered with the transgressors, hangs before us on the cross. A look to him will heal us of the serpent bite of sin, will heal us at once. When he looketh upon it, he shall live. Let the listener who is mourning his sinfulness note the words, Everyone that looketh upon it shall live. Every looker will find this true. I have found it so. I looked to Jesus and lived at once. I know I did. Sinner, if you look to Jesus, you will live too. True, you are swelling with the venom and you see no hope. True also, there is no hope but this one. But this is no doubtful cure. Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. The brazen serpent was not lifted up as a curiosity to be gazed upon by the healthy, but its special purpose was for those who were bitten. Jesus died as a real Savior for real sinners. Whether the bite has made you a drunkard or a thief or an unchaste or a profane person, a look at the great Savior will heal you of these diseases and make you live in holiness and communion with God. Look and live.
Sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Should not have his mind wiped out by a so-called gift, as you have in false Pentecostalism. One of the greatest threats to the cause of Christ today is a false Pentecostalism. It's leading to the unification of Protestantism and Popery. It's leading to the acceptance of much of the Roman Catholic dogma, which is an insult to that book and to the Christ of that book. It's setting up the Church of Antichrist. Great danger today. Then, of course, there were heretical doctrines, especially on the resurrection in chapter 15. Now, here were the sins. Then there were the problems, the questions that were arising. They sent a letter asking, what about marriage and divorce? Does that sound modern? That's the question we're asking. What about when a man gets saved and his wife's not saved and she continues unsaved? And things are not easy at home anymore. Has that man the right to divorce his wife and go and marry a Christian? I want to tell you, it's being done all over America. You find it especially happening. A woman gets saved. She comes into the church. Her husband doesn't get saved. He's left at home. She starts finding her company in the church. She meets up with other people. She drifts apart from her husband. And she begins to rationalize that it's all right to divorce your husband and take up with a Christian. It's not all right. It's all wrong. That's what Paul says. But that was a question they were asking. But what if the unsaved partner won't live with the saved partner? What if the unsaved partner divorces the saved partner and goes and establishes his own life with a heathen partner? What's the Christian to do then? Is the Christian bound to that marriage? Now, according to many today, the Christian is bound to that marriage. But Paul is blunt and he says, a brother or a sister is not bound. They're free. Divorce and remarriage is one of the most contentious subjects in the church today. It would help things a lot if people would get rid of their own personal prejudice. And if they would simply go and let the Word of God speak and bow to it and accept it for what it is and for what it says. Without trying to impose their own preconceived notions on it. But it's a big problem. Then, eating things offered to idols. You may say, well, that's not a modern problem. Actually, it has its modern ramifications. These people lived in a heathen society. And the question was, how far can a Christian integrate into the heathen society that's right about him? How far has he to isolate from it? And Paul is simply saying, A, you don't worship devils. Chapter 10, you don't worship devils. You don't eat and drink what's offered to the devil. And B, you don't do anything that's going to hurt a new Christian or a Christian who may be led into very questionable things if he saw you at the same thing. So be very careful that your testimony doesn't hurt anybody else's. Then there was another thing they were asking. What about your authority, Paul? Who are you to tell us what to do? That's a very modern problem. The question of authority in the church versus spiritual anarchy. We're living in a day when people say, really, that there is no authority in the church. And I have to be honest with you and say that, to a large extent, authority has broken down in the modern church. For instance, if this church were to discipline a person, put them under a rule of discipline because of sin, while there are some other churches to which that person may go that would write this church, would cooperate with the session of this church, and would be very careful to make sure that the standards of the Word of God were maintained, yet most churches would accept the person without ever even writing a note to the session of this church to find out why it had done anything at all. So, what happens? You're in a church, you commit sin, you're brought under judgment. You say, I'm not accepting that. Who are you to judge me? In fact, I've had that question asked. When this church's session has taken particular action on individual cases, I've had that question asked. Who do they think they are that they can tell a person, you are not to sit at the Lord's table? You are not to take part in public prayer. You are not to represent this church in any public way. You are to go through these various stages of rehabilitation spiritually. Who do they think they are? I have that question asked. We're living in a day of anarchy. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. It's one reason, by the way, that I believe that to be biblical, Christians should have church membership. Because every Christian, preacher included, must be spiritually responsible and spiritually accountable to men ordained of God, to the leadership and the judgment and the office of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it is anarchical for Christians to set themselves up as individuals. I can use the church, but I do not bring myself under its judgment. That is absolutely Corinthian and wrong. So this was a most contemporary situation. All the sins are the sins of the 20th century. The questions are the questions of the 20th century. What was not contemporary was Paul's answer. You see, when Paul came to this situation, first and foremost, let me announce it joyfully, he didn't have a seminar. Now you say, that's not fair. They had never heard of seminars in those days. Sure they hadn't heard of seminars in those days. I wish before the Lord we'd never heard of seminars in our day either. They had never heard of seminars. But listen, if seminars had been the answer, would the Holy Ghost not have known that? Would he not? If psychology had been the answer, was the Holy Ghost not a good enough psychologist? Was the creator of the human soul not capable of setting out these psychological principles? No, no. The answer was altogether different, and it still is altogether different. The answer is theological. In fact, we can go even further and we can say it's Christological. In other words, it is preaching Christ. Now, I want this, and you'll be glad to know I've at last got to the sermon. All that was just to get rid of the cold I had this week again and clear my vocal cords. But now for the problem and its answer. What is it? We can sum up 1 Corinthians. How can we sum it up? This is why we sang from Hosea 6. This is why we sang Out of My Bondage. Because the message of 1 Corinthians is simply this. Reclaiming the church by a return to Christ. That's it. That's what it's all about. Reclaiming the church by a return to Christ. It's not only the church too as a whole big body of people. It's the individual believer. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here this morning and some of these sins come home to you. Maybe I'm speaking to a Christian and you have to look into your own heart and you have to find, I have lost out with God. I'm not where I was. I'm not where I ought to be. I'm getting further from the Lord. And my life is losing out with God. Thank God there's a way back. Thank God there's a reclamation. And the reclamation is by a return to Jesus Christ. Now let me sum it all up. I'll do what I did last week and I'll give you the three main points of the outline. So that you can pursue it if I can't finish it. First of all, the apostle shows us that the satisfaction of Christ, and I'm using that word to speak of his entire work on our behalf, his life, his death, and his resurrection and intercession. The satisfaction of Christ gives us the principles to deal with every problem, whether of faith or of practice. The satisfaction of Christ gives us the principles to deal with the problems. Then secondly, Paul proceeds to show that the Spirit of Christ gives us the power to deal with every problem of faith and of practice. And then finally, at the very end of the book, he shows us how the second coming of Christ gives us the prospect of final and full deliverance from every one of these problems of faith and of practice. Now let's start at the beginning with the satisfaction of Christ giving us the principles to deal with these problems. Now, the problems, when Paul heard of them, must have pained him beyond words. If he'd been an Irishman, he'd have been mad. He'd have been angry. He'd have been bitter. And I have no doubt that Paul, being an ordinary man, must have felt this as a hammer blow. He must have felt that these people were stabbing him in the back. But not for a moment did he allow his pain to cloud his judgment. So what did he do? Chapter 1, immediately he brings them to Christ and he brings them to the cross. Great, great wisdom. What's the answer to the problems that are besetting the church? What's the answer to all the sins? What's the answer to all the questions? It's the gospel. Paul wanted to get these people onto a firm foundation for the great appeal to holiness that he was going to make to them. And so therefore, in the passage we read together this morning, he brings them to Christ crucified. And especially in verse 30, he says to them, "Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us." And he gives us these four things: wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Notice those four aspects of the work of Christ. I think I could make a case very cogently that if you were to analyze the whole book of 1 Corinthians, the analysis of the book is just an expansion of those four things. Chapters 1 to 4, he's dealing with Christ our wisdom. Chapters 5 through 14, he's dealing with Christ. 5 through, I'm taking two together. 5 through 7, he's dealing with Christ our righteousness. 8 through 14, he's dealing with Christ our sanctification. And then he is dealing finally with Christ our redemption. So the whole book is an expansion of these four things. But we're going to limit ourselves to general principles. Here are the things that Christ has made unto us. I want you to see this. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Let me sum it up for you. He's a complete Savior. Second, we are complete in Him. Third, this is the complete answer to our situation. Now there's the outline. The satisfaction of Christ, the work of Christ in our behalf, sets for us the principles upon which we're to face the sins and the questions that agitate the church. You take these four great truths and apply them directly to the things that trouble us. These people were troubled about the message. They wanted wisdom. They wanted philosophy. They wanted learning. They were saying, "Paul, you're not giving us that. I mean, you're never doing anything else but preaching the fundamentals." Paul brings them to the cross. And as he stands them there under Calvary and shows them that God is satisfied with Christ and I am justified through Christ, and reconciled to God, he says, in effect, "Can anybody grasp the gospel and yet desire the wisdom of the world?" Let me put it this way. How many people ever got to heaven by reading Aristotle? None.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.